And we're going to, again, talk about this a little bit more, but I'm excited what God did and just my heartbeat here and my passion, keeping it simple. This is not part of the sermon series that we've been doing, Back to Basics. So just a heads up, just kind of a detached sermon this morning. Next week, I think we're going to do Where Did the Bible Come From? Back to the basics sermon, Where Did the Bible Come From? If you've ever been curious about that, it'll be an interesting, teachy kind of thing. I know some of you are like, oh, we really enjoyed that, and so you may enjoy this one. Some people may just be bored to tears. I get it. But it was just a detached message this morning. I want to look at the last few verses. We've studied the Good Samaritan passage several times, and you know it's out of this passage, Luke chapter 10, the beginning of this chapter, where our passion comes from, that we're to serve God as a church, we're to love God first and foremost, and out of that love for God that we have, we're to love our neighbors. And so that passage is absolutely important. There's no love for God that is detached from service. I mean, that's what the Samaritan was doing, right? He sees the man that's beat up and in need, and he goes and fills that need. You remember the story, the Good Samaritan story? He goes and fills that need, and God says, which of these guys proved to be the neighbor? Was it the priest that passed by and the Levite that passed by? Indeed, it wasn't. It was the Samaritan that loved for God. Out of that love for God, a constrained passion to love and serve his neighbor. And so I think that's great. It's a great truth, and we need to be serving. And there is no love for God outside of a heartbeat to serve people, and we want to be passionate about that. And not just serve people, but serve God, serve the church. We have a passion to do that. We want to be a church that's passionate about loving God, loving neighbor. I don't know if you saw when you walked in this morning, but we have the logo out there now, the vision statement for our church to be a leading church in our community, passionately loving God, loving neighbor. And so this is part of our passion. But there's a caution also with service. There's a caution that we keep the main thing first. And so we'll pick up on verse 38, if I might, Micah, verse 38. If you don't have a Bible, you're in an unfortunate position of having to trust me. Or look at the screen. Here we go. Now, as they were traveling along, speaking of Jesus, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. You're familiar with this story. Welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's words, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted. She was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, let's pray this morning. Lord, we just invite you into this process today. We know that you're going to do your part, and you've promised to do your part. We pray that we do our part. Lord, help me to do my part. Help me to be passionate, truthful. Help me to be true to the word. Lord, and that we would all together be hearers of the word, but doers of the word more than just hearers. Help the word to be planted in our hearts this morning and bring forth fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a great story. We're familiar with it. Martha, busybody. I was preached this message in the past, not here, but did a little study on personalities. What is the personalities? It's the sanguines. But what's that? It's not called personalities. Temperaments. Temperaments. And everybody's got a different temperament. There are the people that are really busy. So I had to remind myself, there's the phlegmatics. I don't know who here is a phlegmatic. Phlegmatics are introverts, meek people pleasers. Meek people. Who's a phlegmatic in this room? I don't know. It's not a criticism. This is a good one. Introverts who are meek people pleasers, like you. You know, you're not really ever going to be up front and everything, but you want to please people, but you're also kind of in the background. You're very meek. That's a phlegmatic. Then there's the melancholic. These are emotionally sensitive, perfectionistic introverts. Kind of, anybody like that? Anybody like that? Nobody wants to own that one. Okay. All right. How about this one? There's the choleric, proud, extroverted, sort of alpha personalities. Proud, extroverted. Anybody like that? Are there anybody that fit any of these personalities in this room? Then there's the sanguine. The sanguine. I don't know if this is me. I have a good feeling like it might be. Boisterous. Bubbly and chatty. Openly emotional. Extroverts. Is that me? So boisterous, bubbly, chatty. Any others of you? I know there are a couple others of you in here. I won't call you out. But how many think that you're a sanguine? Nobody wants to own this. Nobody, I just said, I think I'm a sanguine. So openly, and I kind of see, the story is interesting because I think that Martha's kind of not a sanguine. I think she's sort of the, maybe a extra, like a sensitive perfectionist, maybe. People pleaser, just trying to do all the work, doing everything necessary to get done, meek, not going to ever be out in front, but doing the work of the ministry and so forth. You know what I'm saying? People please, want to make sure that everything's done. And then there are people like me that are just sort of like, hey, I just want to be with Jesus. I just want to be with Jesus. You know? I just want to bring balloons to the party. There are others that are planning this thing out really detailed, getting all stressed out. And, you know, sanguines are in a party. This is going to be bring balloons. You know, there's balloons everywhere. And nothing else gets done, but there are balloons. And they're perfectly happy with that. Perfectly happy with just balloons everywhere. Who cares? We're just having a good time. It didn't need to be planned out. I know that that's my personality. But I'm kind of weird because I definitely also am very perfectionistic and micromanagey about little things that aren't any of my business. So I know that, but at the end of the day, I'm just, hey, let's have a good time. You know? And the different personalities impact our spiritual life. And I think it's healthy to know. We've done several tests. We did a test when I was a church planter that was a Strength Finders. It was put up by Gallup, the Gallup organization. It's their Christian sort of personalities assessment. It's a big, long test. And when I got that back, these are my strengths. And what was my main strength? Do I? An includer. So my main strength, according to this test, and I remember reading this thinking, this is like reading my definition. I was enlightened. I never thought about it. That's exactly who I am. So my number one strength was includer, my passion is to, if I see somebody in the back of the room and nobody's talking to that person, I'm on that. I can't even stand for somebody, for there to be somebody that nobody's talking to. I'm not on that, and I want to be with people, and I want everybody involved, but there's a lot of people pleasing that happens with that. I don't want to exclude anybody, and I'd if I don't have to draw a line, I won't. Maybe lines have to be drawn, and so some cautions there. And then my other strength was vision caster, ability to see what it is that we want to do, and all that. And I wish that was my number one, but unfortunately, my number one's includer. And so all our strengths have sort of negatives, and they impact the way we minister. I see Mary a little bit like a sanguine, just bring balloons to the party and just spend time with Jesus. And then there's those people that, and I'm not sure that either one is great, but is perfect. We can all learn from one another. That great that we can all learn from one another. So it all works all together. And sometimes the sanguines don't necessarily get along with, some of the others, but that's fine. We'll all make it work out. In this passage, we see these two completely different personalities playing out two completely different ways in the presence of God. And not even taking personality into it. As we read, Jesus was traveling same city, Bethany, probably where later on Jesus will heal and raise from the dead Lazarus, the brother of these two here. And so he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister, Mary, and I want you to notice her thing. She was listening to the Lord's words. And seated at his feet. And whatever these actions are, Jesus in a moment will say, she's chosen the better part. Whatever it is that Mary is doing, Jesus sees as very valuable. She's attentive. She's got her eyes fixed on Jesus. She doesn't have her eyes necessarily fixed on all the stuff, all the necessary preparations. Her eyes are fixed on Jesus, Jesus' feet. Stuff has to get done. But there's got to be a way to do stuff keeping your eyes on Jesus. There's got to be a way to do stuff and be busy and still be seated at Jesus' feet. We can't all be sanguines all the time. She had a sister, and she was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted. Notice a very intentional wording here. The listening to the words of Jesus, but Martha is distracted. Things that God wants to show us, teach us in our everyday circumstances of life. This was not a church service. God's trying to teach us something, and we're doing all the stuff, but we've got to do it and at the same time have our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's not easy. Martha was distracted. Indeed, she was aggravated. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? She's politicking a little bit, right? Lord, do you not care? She didn't talk to Mary. Martha's like talking to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, triangulating this thing. Don't you care? Why don't you go deal with this? So hold on. Getting a little. Then tell her to help me. Trying to manipulate Jesus. Well, the Lord has something to say about that. You know, I think one of the challenges in the Christian life that I've been thinking about, some of what I've learned this week in Honduras, and I thought this passage would be appropriate to that, is that oftentimes, even in ministry, you get caught up in ministry and you're doing stuff and you're busy, and you never just sit back and just listen to Jesus. The distraction of ministry, the distraction of being busy, gets in the way of just saying, God, are you trying to show me something? And this was a great week because I didn't have had Lucas's help, and I was just basically kind of laid back. I remember when they asked if I'd play, I was like, yeah, I'm going to bail. I don't want to play. Let Micah play. I want to just worship. I want to just show up, be ministered to, hear God. And we get so busy. But the thing is, God is the guest in our life. He's the Spirit of the living God resides in us. And it's sort of being able to pause and walk and do stuff and still be sensitive to what God is doing. I understand the getting busy. I mean, VBS, I was busy. And I remember Kathy's at one point in the week, or maybe at the beginning of the week, said, you know, we need to get together and just pray before we start. And I appreciate her saying that, because we did, man. You just get so busy and you're doing the prep and say, hold on, is God in this picture? Is God working out what you're doing in your life? Yesterday we had the privilege, it was just listening to God, spending time with God. Yesterday we had guests of our own. So Morgan and Nate back here, these college students, the ugly ones back here. They're good guys. They were over at the house, and hamburgers, get everything ready, and not spending time with them, and finally, you know, got the burgers cooked and everything. Spent time with these guys, and you know, they came to our house, and we're trying to be good guests, good hosts to them. They're guests. So Mike and I were playing a little game. We let them win. We let them win four times. It was hard to do. We just want to be good hosts, you know. So we pay attention to these guys, and we want them to come back. And so Micah knows let's let them win a few games. So they beat us, but really we let them win at this game. So you know, trying to because the thing was not the preparation. The thing was the people. And the thing is not the stuff. The thing is Jesus. The thing is Jesus. And we get busy. That's not the thing. The thing is, do you have a relationship with Jesus that's vibrant? Are you talking to God? Can you hear Him? Are you attentive to what He's saying? Are you at His feet, figuratively speaking, hearing God? Or are you busy? Is the thing for you the stuff, or is it Jesus? I think if we're going to be a healthy church, the thing's got to be Jesus. We're going to have a relationship with Jesus. Everything else will take care of itself. But the thing is practicing hearing, listening. God, I'm attentive. I got my eyes fixed on Jesus. No matter what I'm doing, my eyes are fixed on Jesus. And I don't love being distracted. I love Honduras because it's like an opportunity just to, man, I'm just focusing on Jesus, and we're doing my devotions and going out poolside. You know, I did that every morning at 6 in the morning, go out poolside and do my devotions. And I'm thinking, I need a pool at home. This is great. Jesus says, Lord answered and said to her, Martha, you're worried and bothered. It's interesting. What happens when you get your eyes off of Jesus is you get, and I don't know if anybody else can feel this or if you could testify to this. I can testify to this. When your eyes are off of Jesus, you are easily bothered. Do you know what I'm saying? But all of a sudden, all the stuff that you're doing is trouble. All of a sudden, everything that's up in your life becomes hard. No. When you have your eyes fixed on Jesus, that stuff becomes a joy sometimes. Not easy. Don't get me wrong. Not easy, but a joy. You're worried, bothered about so many things, but only, and I love this, only a few things are necessary. Only a few things are necessary. Sometimes ministry can be a... Sometimes your life can become a big burden and become a hassle, become this big thing. And Jesus is like, hold on, let's keep this simple. Let's keep this thing. Let's bring it back to simple. Pay attention to what Jesus is doing. Sit at his feet. Listen to him. Even in the midst of all your stuff, find time to listen to Jesus. Pause and listen to Jesus. There are only a few things necessary. Really, only one. Mary has chosen the good part. I love this. Which shall not be taken away from her. I'm all for crowns, and I'm like, you know, trying to earn up my crowns, and we could have them one day, and I got, man, all this stuff I did for Jesus. And I'm not discounting that. I think that's great. And God thinks it's great. That's why he's in on that part of the strategy. But here on earth, the good part is the times that we have that we get to just hear God. This is all about worship. Can you worship God even in the context of your busy day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Are you listening to God? Are you walking with God? Or are you caught up in all the stuff? The more we do, as we do a better job at doing life and walking with Jesus at the same time, the less troubled we are. The less bothered we become. There's only a few things necessary, really only one. Mary has chosen the good part, and that part won't be taken away. That is absolutely eternal. The benefits of walking with God here, practicing walking with God here, the benefits of that are eternal. Never going to be taken away. I just want a simple encouragement today, and I found myself last week really enjoying the presence of God in a way that I just don't a lot in the hustle and bustle of my everyday life with the kids and the stupid dog and all that. But that's not life's fault. That's my fault. That's not circumstances' fault. That's a lack of discipline on my part, a lack of discipline on your part to say, hold on, I've got to do a better job at hearing God. I've got to do a better job at taking time to sit at the Lord's feet and just partake in all that he has for me. As I do that, that fuels my life to where all the stuff, it's okay, I can manage this. This is okay. Because I have a relationship, I'm building this relationship with the God of the universe. For whoever that minister to this morning, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. If you're like me, you've gotten busy, tired, don't do a good job at listening to God, let me encourage you to not accept the status quo. Hey, God, I've got to do better. I want to sit and fix my eyes on you. If you receive that this morning, will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we just pray, Lord, for those of us that are busy, those of us that have difficulty in life, and Lord, we pray that we would be a little bit more like Mary, that our eyes would be fixed on you in an awesome way, in a way that refreshes us, Lord, so that we don't have to go on a mission trip to feel rested in your presence. Lord, give us rest. Help us to not be weary in well-doing. Spirit of God, rest over us and help us to have a deeper, fuller relationship with you. We long for that. Help us to be disciplined to the end that we walk with you more closely. We ask it now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm going to invite Lucas up here to do a few announcements. In the meantime, we are going to make preparations here in just a moment to pull some chairs up and be thinking of some questions. We want to minister to you and bless you for sending us on this trip. So we'll be doing that in just a moment. Go ahead, Lucas.
In just a moment, we're going to collect our tithes and offerings. And if you have not done so, just a friendly reminder, now is the perfect time to quickly fill out this little piece of paper in the back. If you could just let everybody, or if you could just let us know how many people are in your family or party today on this side. And then if you have a prayer request that we can specifically pray for you throughout the week, and then we'll then go into the prayer sheet, you can fill out this back portion as well, and you can drop it in the offering plate. So I'll pray for our offering, and then we'll go ahead with our announcements. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We're thankful that you've gathered each one of us here today to worship you and to praise your name. I pray that as we've now come to the time where we collect our tithes and offerings, Lord, I pray that we would be faithful in giving back to you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Just wanted to announce to our church family, some of you may know, some of you may not know, but I would probably imagine that the majority of you know who Paul and Loretta Platt are. Well, we got wind yesterday that Paul passed away yesterday morning. Paul and Loretta live at the Kiwanis Manor, and Paul's passed away. So the funeral for Paul Platt will be Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Engleshook Funeral Home here in Tiffin. Pastor Jesse will be doing the service. So the service will not be here. It will be at the funeral home. We are not sure if there's a lunch at all. I guess once we find that out, we can pass that along. But as of right now and as of this moment, it's just the funeral. I don't think it's even been in the paper, so I would imagine that there will be some more information in regards to calling hours and things such as that. So just be on the lookout for that, that Paul passed away. Also wanted to share with you, and I personally forgot to put this on the church's Facebook page, but Ron Sowers has been in the hospital the last 3 days, which is why Ron is not here today. He's hoping to go home either tomorrow or Tuesday. Ron was telling me that he's not really been feeling well since our church picnic 2 Sundays ago. And just this was just the culmination of everything. So if you can, keep Ron in prayer over the next several days. On Wednesday evening, we'll be having our quarterly business meeting, so if you can at all make it, please come. Mark, will this room be done before Wednesday? Okay. So with that being said, we'll most likely meet out there in our usual spot. So that's the quarterly meeting on Wednesday. This Saturday, we're going to be having our Love Tiffin event down at the farmer's market. There's a couple sign-up sheets out on the back table back there. If you can at all help and sign up, please do so. We'd love to have you. John was telling us this morning that last Saturday, they gave out over 700 bottles of water. 600, which is still... which is still more than the couple weeks before that. So a good job to everybody who was able to come out and help John on that day. Executive board, there'll be a meeting after the church, so if you're part of that, we'll meet in one of the classrooms down the hallway. And I think now is the appropriate time to call everybody up who's here that went on the missions trip, and we're going to share a few things. If you have any, so be thinking, congregation, if you have any questions or ideas or thoughts to ask the group that you would like to know, you'll have a portion of time to be able to do that.
Mark, if you would maybe the cordless mic. Somebody got, okay. So I think hopefully this will be a blessing to you all. We're intentionally earlier, much earlier than we normally let out so that you can still make...